had some workers working on our, painting our bedroom.
Restaurant.
Huh? No, Chicken Coop, Chicken Restaurant. Popeyes, I think.
Oh, I thought you was getting chickens for your yard.
No. You went to Popeyes and get some fried chicken. I went to get some. So I had a list, you know, wrote down on my list what I'm gonna get. So I go walking into the restaurant and I'm holding my list on my little pad here. I got my list, I got my pen, you know, I'm walking in, I wanna make sure I get, you know. And I walk in to the workers back there, phew! They rush back in the back room. And the other lady over there just smiling and laughing. And I'm going, what's going on? And I guess they thought I was a health inspector. I had my pad and my pencil. It's a little small pad. It wasn't even a big pad, you know. My pen and my pencil walking in, you know, hurrying in. And they took off, you know. And so we all had a big laugh about it, you know. They thought, well, they finally figured out I just had a list of things I wanted to buy, you know. I got to thinking about that. You know, Jesus says, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. You need to be ready.
Yeah.
You don't need to be rushing to the back room to kill roaches and get up or whatever you're going to do, you know. you just rake all the roaches in the trash can. And get rid of them. You need to be ready because he's suddenly going to come.
I thought you were going to sit over here.
And we want our time when we see him, you know, it may be a surprise, which is going to be a surprise because we don't know when it's going to come, right? We know it's going to be a surprise, but we don't want to be rushing to the back room to kind of clean things up, you know. We don't want to, oh, I got to clean up my heart, you know, I got to clean up my head, my thinking and all that. We want it to be like one of those, you know, you've seen those servicemen come back over and they show up. It's something where the family is, you know, and suddenly the family looks up and sees him and they don't expect him. They go running over and hug him and everything, and there's laughter and there's tears and everything. That's the kind of homecoming we want, right?
Yeah.
When he comes, we want to be to have that kind of surprise. Oh, hot dog is Jesus. This sort of thing. Uh-huh. So anyway, it's just I wanted to share that with you. That was kind of a funny incident that happened, you know. It was quite some time before I could figure out why everybody's running around, you know. But anyway, we want to welcome Jesus in when he comes.
Oh, yeah.
Nice surprise, right? Mm-hmm. A nice surprise. Candace, give us a nice surprise.
Okay. This song is called Amen. And the song itself is pronounced Amen. And so I said, well, let's look up. Okay. In Hebrew, Amen is confirmed, supported, and upheld. The Greek meaning is so it is, truly and yes. And so when you see the word Amen, to replace it with those meanings, to me it's stronger to me. I mean, it's like, this is the way it is, that's just the way it's gonna be. Okay, so anyway, just wait, you know, and the proclaiming that Amen states itself.
So you better be careful with your amens.
Huh?
When you hear somebody preaching and saying something that you kind of agree with, it's negative and you don't want it to happen, well, you can say Amen because you agree with what he's saying, mm-hmm. but you're saying so be it.
Right.
Not yeah. just
exactly.
agree, you're saying so uh-huh. be it. So mm-hmm. you need to be careful.
That's when you say, oh me.
Oh, me.
Cancel that one.
Yeah, right. Okay, so let's lift him up. Raise your hands. Praise him.
Yeah.
Love on God this
yes.
morning.
Yes. Yes.
Praise God.
Just lift everybody in your, that have hands, lift them toward heaven.
Yeah.
Let's lift our hearts toward heaven.
Yeah.
If you got hands, lift them toward heaven. Shakatatia. Lord, we lift our hands toward you.
Stop. Hang on just a second.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we praise and we can praise until you get it together. Lord, we lift our hands toward
you. Thank you, God.
We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. You are the great God. There's no God like you, God. You're Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. We praise you.
Fill this house.
Ay.
I have no words to say. Don't know what I should pray, but God, I need you. God, I need you. Oh Lord, my faith is tired and tears fill up my eyes, but I will trust you. I will trust you. Whatever comes my way, you have taught me to say, Amen. Let your kingdom come, Amen. And let your will be done. And through the rise and fall, you're God above it all, Amen. We're singing Amen. I will seek you, I will seek you. Though troubles may arise, my hands reach to the skies, and I will praise you, I will praise you. Whatever comes my way, you have taught me to say, Amen.
Church you came up in.
Oh, really?
I'm just guessing, you know. But if you're Catholic, you know, or you're high church, you know, you'd probably say, "Ah, man," you know. And I guess if you're low church, you say, yeah, "Amen," right? but you hear songs that have it both ways, you know. I mean, it's that song has "Amen."
When you do
the hymns, right?
Right.
Amen. You know, right. At the end, but then there's a famous song, Amen, 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 Amen. So you got that too. So you know, I'm an Amen guy. So you know, I'm not high church. I'm low church. But it doesn't really matter. Same thing. You know. So we've been talking about
torsion,
right? We could be talking about portion. Why? I don't know where that came from. Anyway, why are we talking about portion? That's the big question why. You will have to do that sometime. I'll talk to you about the big question why. But portion. What is portion? What does it mean when we say God is my portion?
Inheritance.
Inheritance. But we got to wait till we die to get our inheritance?
No, Jesus died.
Jesus died, yeah. Jesus died. And we don't have to wait to get our inheritance. Our inheritance is really ours, all right? The father, the loving father in the parable of the prodigal son, he came to the older son and he says, look, I am always with you and all that I have is yours. He didn't say all that I have will be. He said all that I have is yours.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
So we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance.
Can we just stop and thank God for our inheritance?
Amen. Amen.
You know, sometimes God gives us things and we don't even say, Lord, thank you for our inheritance.
Amen.
Father, we just want to take this moment and break through this teaching. You took time and broke even through the cross. That was so important for you to die on the cross, but you took time to deal with matters. And I'm taking time to deal with this matter here. They said, Lord, thank you for our inheritance. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our inheritance. Can I hear it? Can I hear y'all say thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes.
Not amen. Thank you, Lord, for my inheritance.
Thank you, Lord, for my inheritance. Yes.
And the more we are aware of that, we will accomplish what that inheritance have for us. And who is the administrator of our inheritance?
Holy Spirit.
I didn't say that enough. If you didn't come out with that, Apostle, I think I would have had. I didn't say that so much in here. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of our inheritance. So you got to get it.
That's right.
That's the reason we connect and sow in here with you. Because we already have it. It's already ours.
Yeah.
But you said something really important. That's what I want to talk about today. You said, what was it? The more we know about, the more we're aware of what we have.
The more we're aware.
The more we're aware. Right?
Yeah.
It cancels out every circumstance and situation. When the situation and circumstance is bigger than our inheritance.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to lean more to.
So just to kind of back up, you know, I know at the beginning I read several verses at the beginning of this series of studies about inheritance and heir. And what I want to do is just kind of revisit that just real briefly, and then I want to get into what Mary was mentioning over there. I did a search for heir. I said, you know, if you want to understand a lot of what's going on in the New Testament, you need to know what inheritance is.
Amen.
You need to know what they're talking about when they say inheritance and what all the fullness and the richness of the meaning, all right? I said that, and I read several verses, all right? Well, I did a little search. I searched first for heir, all right, and I found 9 verses in the New Testament. One of them is, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Okay? There's, of course, you know, 8 other verses here. Then I did a search for H-E-R-I to get inheritance and inherit, okay? And it turns out there's 33 verses. And they go all the way from Matthew to Revelation.
Whoa.
Okay? So, I mean, 33 plus 9 right there. Okay? I mean, we're going to run into that a lot. You're going to run into this idea of inheritance. All right? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Right? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In Acts 20, 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that which are sanctified. to build you up and give you an inheritance. All right? So there's quite a few verses here. If you look for portion, there's four verses that have portion in there. And I'm sure there's probably things I left out I didn't search for, you know. But right now we're well over 40, you know. So close to 50 verses that have something about inheritance in them. Something about inheritance. Something about your portion. So when you read through the New Testament, you run across some of these verses, you can go, oh, I know what that is. Stop and read it again when you read that word inherit or inheritance and this sort of thing. So I'm going to read a few of the verses and we're going to talk about it a little bit. And we're going to talk about how do we receive our inheritance? How do we make use of our inheritance? Mary was saying. It says, now before faith came, this is in Galatians 3, 23 through 29. And it says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. The coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. We are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. We are heirs according to the promise. We are in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say in Galatians 4, 1 through 7, he says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave.
Whoa.
Though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. Okay, so he's thinking about, here's the son of the king or someone. He says, he's really no different from a slave because he's what? He is under the tutelage, he's under the instruction of guardians and managers, right? He has to do what they say until he what? Matures, right? To the place where he can make decisions and do things on his own, right? You know, you got a little child, he can't reach up in the high cabinet. Well, hopefully not. Some of them can't. He can't fix his own meals, right? Without burning himself or making a mess. And so he needs a manager. He needs a guardian, right? He can't go outside and play in the street, the traffic, all that sort of thing. He needs a guardian. He needs someone to watch after it until he matures to the point where, he can go outside. Yeah, he can do his own thing. So in the same way we, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Okay? Now Paul's saying, at one point we were slaves under the law. Mm-hmm. We had the law as a guardian, as a teacher. But now that we have matured, when Christ has come, we're no longer children. We're sons. We're sons. So he says, let's see here, get this right. Then on down in Galatians 4, 18 through 19, he says, it is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children. Paul is referring to the Galatians still as little children. for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. He says, now he's taking this and putting it on a personal matter, right? Before he's talking about the big picture, you know, here's the law, here's Christ has come, you know, redeem us from the law. But now he's getting back down and saying, I'm talking to you personally, you on a personal level, you Galatians, you're my little children. My little children, he says, for I am still in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Until we get mature. Right? We're all being conformed to the image of Christ. Right? Until that image of Christ is formed in us. Right? We have to do what? Renew our minds. Brother David, thank you. Renew our minds with what? The Word. Right? We have to listen to the Spirit. We train our minds, right, to understand the Word. We train our minds, our wills, to obey the Spirit. We listen to the Spirit. We sow to the Spirit. Right? We focus on the Spirit so that we can reap eternal life and not corruption, right? So it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. We have to understand our inheritance. Like Mary was saying, we need to understand this stuff. When you're little children, you know what's going on. What's the adults talking about? What's happening? Mommy, what's happening? You know, your child doesn't know what's going on. But we need to get to the place where we can understand what's going on. We can understand what we have in Christ. Right? We can understand these things. The first time I went to a charismatic meeting, Assembly of God, it was a revival. Okay? Never been there, never seen anything. I sat there, everybody went wild, you know. And I didn't understand what was going on. I was 14 or so, you know, 14 or 15. But I didn't understand what was going on. I was like wide-eyed and like, whoa, what is going on, you know. And, you know, it was just, whoa. It was kind of pandemonium sort of thing. But I didn't understand. I've gotten some understanding now. If I wanted to walk in now, I might be in there with them, you know. I understand, you know. So we understand these things, and we impart this understanding in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? So Paul goes on to 1 Corinthians 3 and he says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. He's talking to the Corinthian church, right? They excelled in the gifts of the Spirit. They earnestly desired the gifts of the Spirit. But Paul called them infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. He says, you're not even ready. I mean, you're manifesting the Spirit, but you don't even understand what's going on here. You don't understand love. You don't understand that all this stuff is given to you to manifest the Spirit in love. That's the Spirit of love, he says. So he says, and even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? See, he had it with the Galatians. He had it with the Corinthians. He says, I'm trying to mature you. I'm trying to build you up. I'm in the pangs of childbirth. He says, it's almost like I'm waiting for you to come out. You know, you wait for the child to get mature enough to come out. You know, then you wait for the child to get mature enough to be out there on their own. So he says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Now, what's a rod used for? Who is it used for?
Sheep.
A child, right? right? Whoever spares the rod hates to see his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him, right? Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Those are from Proverbs. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. He'll shave and save his whole soul from hell, right? So we know about this, but do you need a rod on a mature adult? No. You just reprove and teach him. A mature adult, you stop using the rod. You reprove him. You teach him. It says, do not reprove a scoffer. He will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man. He will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man. He will increase in learning. Wow. You teach a wise man? I thought he was already wise. But you see, we're always learning.
Yeah.
We're always learning. So who's going to be able to use his inheritance? The child or the mature adult?
Mature adult.
Mature adult who has learned, right? Who now knows something, who has understanding, right? Who has wisdom. So we press on. We press on to know God, to know his ways, right? He says, but recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abounding one. When you know what your portion is, when you know what your inheritance is, you can put up with stuff. You can put up with sufferings and persecutions. When you know what your inheritance is. But you need to know it. Because when those things come around, you know, you don't want them to bother you. You don't want them to bother you. You know, you want to get, we want to get beyond the cross, what I call beyond the cross. Don't stop at the cross. Keep learning. Keep learning. Because beyond the cross are the fruits of the Spirit.
That's good. I was praising God.
Yeah.
I'm tired with
yeah. Yeah. Beyond the cross is what? The fruits of the Spirit. Right? Joy, peace, patience, kindness. All these things. Beyond the cross. This cross is wonderful. But don't stop there. Keep growing, keep maturing, and encourage, exhort, and teach others. So they also can know what their inheritance is. Amen? Father, we thank you so much. We ask you to bless our food.
Thank you.
Bless, Father, to the nourishment of our bodies. And bless this time of fellowship together. May we encourage, exhort, teach one another. May we always look to you as a source of our knowledge. And may we open up the eyes of understanding in ourselves and in others. And we thank you for this, Father. In all things, may you be praised, and may your Son, Jesus, be lifted up in our eyes and in other people's eyes as we manifest the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Or amen, whichever one you
want. I'm like you, Greg. I'm an amen.